The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. God's word today is passing on the baton. Passing on the baton, just like in relay races, track and field, you know how the runners have to pass on the baton to the next one? That's what God is telling us today. Passing on the baton. Let's look how is that being given to us in our readings today, in our gospel. Well, in the Gospel of Matthew, the adult Jesus comes into the scene when he goes to be baptized by John the Baptist. And then after that, he goes into the desert to be tempted by the devil, which we'll hear about on the first Sunday of Lent. And then is our gospel this morning. And the gospel begins by telling us that when John was arrested, that's when Jesus began his ministry. John the Baptist passing on the baton to Jesus now. He's the one going around, and to show us the continuity, Matthew tells us Jesus was preaching the same thing he said John was preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It wasn't a new message. It's the same message that God has been preparing his people for thousands of years, and finally came to fulfillment in Jesus. He's got the baton now. It's up to him to do his part. Another way we see how the baton is being passed, as you know, in Matthew, we have the story of the Magi coming to see Jesus. And how did they know about the birth of Jesus? Through a light, the star. That light now is no longer in heaven. That light is Jesus who goes to Galilee, the land of the Gentiles, to remind us that as a Savior, he came to save all people, not only the Jewish people, but Jews and Gentiles, male and female, free and slaves. Now the light has shone into the darkness, is no longer that special star, but Jesus Christ as he begins his ministry. And how he became a light? How did the light shine through Jesus? Again, we're told he began by preaching and teaching. Preaching and teaching. Jesus still continues to do this today. Jesus continues to share his words of us, the words of truth and life, his teaching, his preaching, because we have his words with us in the gospel, in the scriptures. As I mentioned earlier, Pope Francis has designated this third Sunday of Ordinary Time to be the Sunday of the Word of God. Because I think we lost the understanding or the impact. Whose words are we listening to? They're not my words. They're not Matthew's words or whoever wrote the gospel. These are the words of the Holy Spirit, God's words. And he's preaching to us, proclaiming to us every time we open our Bibles and read them, every time we come prepared to listen. So the first question, and as we talk about passing on the baton, is, are you grabbing that baton by opening your Bibles and reading God's word? When's the last time you opened your Bible and read the passage? Especially the Gospels. These are the words of Jesus, the same words that Peter and James and John, the people at that time, heard. We still hear him today, 2,000 years ago, later. And it's the power of the words of Jesus that brought in about the healing. When Jesus healed the sick, he didn't go like, you know, make a concoction and say, well, take this three times a week before food. He spoke. He said, stand up and walk. And the crippled person stood up and walked. He said, open your eyes. And the eyes of the blind were opened. He said, stretch out your hand. And the person with the withered hand was able to stretch out his hand. The power of the word is in the word of God, not in some secret thing that Jesus gave to these people. The same word that we have today. And when we hear it, it's not just healing us physically, but most importantly, it's healing us spiritually. It's helping us to be part of this relay, this race towards the kingdom of heaven. You know, Jesus preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why it is just at hand, not here? Because we have to take it, just like with the baton, we have to accept it before we can start running and continue the race. He gave us everything we need, but we have to pick up that baton and be ready to continue the race for Jesus. And that's why he later on, right away, before he does any great things, he goes and calls Peter, James, John, and Andrew. He wants to get runners who will be willing to continue his mission after he ascends to heaven. He knows that his whole mission depends really on people who are willing to accept that baton and run with it. So that's the first thing he does. He calls people. You know, what's interesting about the way Jesus did things that's different in rabbis at his time, you know, rabbis at his time, they didn't go out looking for disciples. They'll take a place, maybe under a tree or outside the temple, outside the synagogue, and they sit, and then people will come to them, and they talk to them, they teach them, and then some people become regulars and become their disciples. That's not what Jesus did. He went out looking for people. He went out looking for Peter and Andrew, James and John, Matthew and all of his disciples. Jesus, God, takes that first step and calls us, invites us. Just like he called each one of us at our baptism, he called us to be his disciples. Have we accepted the baton from Jesus yet? And it's interesting how Jesus calls them. He doesn't tell them, well, come and then I teach you the law in a better way. He says, come and see. See who? See Jesus. The invitation is to follow Jesus. The invitation is to have a personal relationship with Christ. It's not about the law. It's not about the Torah. It's not about, you know, what you do at the temple. Come and follow me. That's what he's inviting us to. And how do we know Jesus, how we can follow him? If we don't read his words. If we don't get to know what's he all about by listening to his own words, not what somebody else tells us about him. Starting next Sunday, from now to Lent, we're going to hear from the Sermon on the Mount. That's how we come to know Jesus, who he is, what he's all about, what he's inviting us to do, to follow what. To follow how? Come and follow me. And all the Gospels focus on that. Peter and James, Andrew, John, all of the disciples, that immediately they followed Jesus. Now, that might seem like strange to us. It might seem really, you know, something that's not good. Here comes like a stranger, if they never heard of Jesus, walking on the beach and says, come and follow me, and they leave their boats. I mean, being a fisherman is like being a small business person at the time of Jesus. They were not slaves. They were not working in the fields. They owned their own boats. They had their own trade. Even John and James, they left their father. The gospel writers are trying to emphasize to us that when Jesus calls us, it means we have to leave something behind to follow him. Even if that means our family, even if that means our business. Because what we try to do today is say, well, yeah, Jesus, I'll follow you. I'll add you to all the other things that I have in my life. That doesn't work, my brothers and sisters. If you truly want to follow Jesus, you have to let go of something. Because we don't have time for Jesus on top of everything else that we have to do. He's not calling us to leave our families or our work. Yeah, we have to pay bills. We have responsibility to our families. But maybe we can leave behind the couple of hours we spend on the internet each week or maybe each day. Maybe we can leave behind the hours we take to exercise. Following Jesus means leaving something behind. What have you left behind to follow Jesus? If you haven't left anything behind, then maybe you're not following Jesus, but expecting Jesus to follow you. We have to make time for Christ. That's how we follow him. You know, in a relay race, if it's a, you know, a relay race and you have, you know, the runners are spread out waiting to someone to hand them the baton, they have to be ready to catch that baton. What happens if they drop it? What happens? Anybody, do we have any runners here and relay? They get disqualified, right? They're out of the race. That's what happens for many of us over the years. We're no longer running to heaven. We just got out of the race for whatever reason. For us to continue the race, we have to become missionary disciples. That's what we talk about when we say missionary disciple. What the heck is a missionary disciple? A missionary disciple is not someone who just prays at home or prays on Sunday at church. A missionary disciple is someone who prays with someone else and teaching them to pray. A missionary disciple is not someone who just comes to church on his own, but a missionary disciple is someone who asks someone to come with him to church, invites them. A missionary disciple is someone who not just reads the word of God, but willing to share that word with others, with children, with teenagers. We have like 100 families in the parish hall with their children who are preparing to receive the sacraments. And we have 10 catechists volunteers who is there spending their time to share the word with them so they can pass on the baton to them. That's what it means to be a missionary disciple. In a regular race, once you drop the baton, you're out. But with God, we're never out of the race. He just picks up the baton, gives it to us, and says, okay, now let's run together.